Let's dive straight into the Word. How about that? Y'all excited to hear the Word of God tonight? I'm excited to preach it. I got a special word on my heart. I think it's going to be impactful, I hope. Let's open up our Bibles. We're going to pray. And then tonight, we've got some prayer focuses at the altar, too. We'll have worship team or partial worship team, I guess, whatever Caitlin decides, we'll have come up and we'll pray. And then we'll also do announcements at the end and take up the offering. Of course, we don't pass the buckets, but you can always drop off your seed into the lockbox over there if you'd like to do that before you leave tonight. So let's pray. Welcome. Are you glad you're here? Amen. Glad you're in church tonight. Amen. Feel this word burning in my heart. So we're going to open the Bible. We're going to start in Mark chapter 4. We're going to read three parables in one of the Gospels, the Gospel of Mark. And then I'm going to preach a little bit on and piggyback off what we talked about on Sunday, the principle of multiplication when it comes to being a disciple. Amen. How many of you are glad you're a disciple of Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word and your power. We thank you, Jesus, that this is true food and true bread. God, we thank you. What an honor and a privilege to be in your house tonight. And we just honor you, Lord. We worship you. We praise you, Jesus. Open up to us the Holy Scriptures. Show us, Lord Jesus, how you're speaking, how you're moving, what you want to do in our hearts tonight. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that we are not here by accident, but we are here by divine appointment. Lord Jesus, that because your word says that every step that we take as a Christian and as a believer, Lord Jesus, you ordain every step. Lord, you clear the path. You light the path for us. Your word does that. Lord Jesus, I pray tonight, God, that we would have transformational change in our heart. Lord, that would go very deep, so that you could open to us and show us the principle of multiplication. And God, how you are in the business of multiplying disciples and followers of Jesus that have been radically changed by the power of the gospel. And Lord, we thank you, Jesus, and we honor you and we praise you. Show me where to pierce and show me where to heal in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Mark chapter 4. And I feel like the Lord's really enlightened this scripture to me. We've been talking about the marks of a disciple and what it truly means to be a disciple. How many of you know that in the Great Commission, in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus commissioned us to go and make disciples, amen, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And he said, lo, I'm with you always. Teach them everything I've commanded you. And I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'll be with you to the very ends of the earth. Don't you love that in the final chapter of Matthew, in the final passage, that he doesn't leave you empty-handed? He said, I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to help you make disciples. Amen? And so we are truly devoted followers of Jesus. Now, what we've talked about over the last few weeks are marking portions of the scripture that show us where Jesus directly or maybe even indirectly points out what it means to truly be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. How many of you want to be more than just merely a fan or an observer of what God is doing, but to be an actual demonstration of his power within the earth? Come on, that's what I want to be. I don't want to be a Christian that is just mere, if you can even coin it that, a Christian, but someone who observes from a far place or just only has a certain point where I'll go with Jesus, but something that says deep down inside of me that I'll go all in for Jesus until, come on, every part of me, right, like we sang tonight, is pouring our oil at the feet of Jesus, that it all belongs to him. What it truly means to be a disciple. And so we started by talking about what it means to cling to Jesus. In the Psalms, it talks about my soul clings unto God. It talks about how Peter said, even when Jesus gave hard teachings, Peter said, when Jesus said, are you going to leave me too? And Peter looked at Jesus and said, where else could I go, Jesus? You got the words of life. Peter had a revelation that Jesus was the Christ. He was the Son of the living God. And something changes on the inside of you, especially in your relationship with Jesus and the body of Christ, when you realize that life is just way more than just going through the motions and doing what you're supposed to do, but actually devoting yourself to Him as a follower that clings to Him, that loves His word, and that follows His commands. Somebody shout amen. Now, I want to clarify, we talked about following His commands. And yes, Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets. He fulfilled all those things. But He gave us certain particular commands that we should follow as disciples. For example, when He was asked, how many times do I have to forgive? And Jesus looked at him and said, 70 times 7. That's how many times you have to forgive. That's a command. Somebody shout amen. Right? So it might not be listed in Exodus 20 as one of the Ten Commandments. That might be what you think when I say commands. But there's commands that Jesus gave them, like Jesus gave them, that they needed to follow in order to be a true, devoted, growing disciple. Somebody say amen. Now, it's grace that saves you through faith. But once you've given your life to Jesus, you become a devoted disciple that clings to Him, that abides in His word. How many of you love His word? Three people. How many of you love His word? How many of you notice that when you're not in your word, other things begin to take over mentally in your mind? Somebody shout amen. Like other voices become more predominantly driven in your mind. Other things that you begin to think about, other streams and mediums of things that you're hearing and intaking start to crowd out the voice and the direction from God that you're getting while you're in His word. You cannot replace your individual devotion to Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. And loving His word. If you are truly His disciple, you'll abide in His word and you'll follow His commands. And the Bible says when you abide in His word, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. How many of you know in today's era and time, we need the truth? Somebody say amen. We need the truth. We need to walk in the truth, to abide in the truth, to live in the truth, to preach the truth. Come on, to admonish the truth. The truth is a person. His name is Jesus, and everything is in Him. Somebody say amen. And so when you preach this Jesus, you're preaching the truth. And we need His word. So tonight, I'm going to piggyback off what we talked about. Here's a beautiful result of following Jesus as a disciple, is the result is multiplication. How many of you believe that the Christian life, now follow what I'm saying, is not a stagnant life? Are you hearing what I'm saying today? I'm not saying you need to move across the country. Some people are called to be missionaries. And that's wonderful. But that's not what I'm saying in this particular thing. I'm saying the idea of multiplication and growing and not being stagnant is the fact that when you're following Jesus, you should always be growing. Oh, come on, somebody. You should always grow. Things in God grow. Now, I'm going to show you in a second, in the scriptures, you might not feel like you're growing. But if you're abiding in His word, family, and you're loving His commands, and you're listening to His spirit, and you're flowing with the spirit, this is important. Flowing with the spirit is not some ethereal thing. It's called the unction and the direction of the comforter. Somebody say amen. You need the direction of the Holy Spirit. And when you do this, the soil of your heart is cultivated so that you grow, right? You learn to abhor things that you once thought were harmless, now you realize that they were inhibiting and stunting your growth. You begin to love Jesus and cling to Jesus even more because you realize He has the words of life. You begin to follow His commands because you find that there truly is life in what He's saying. How many of you can ever say, I followed the Jesus command to forgive my brother 70 times 7 and it freed me from some stuff? Yeah, come on. That's a hard teaching, but it's true. You follow the command. You said, man, Jesus said, go the extra mile. So how about I go the extra mile? And you didn't regret it when it truly blessed somebody when you went the extra mile for them. See, all of his commands are life. We just have to purpose in our heart to follow them. Somebody say amen. Things like this, it's even said in the Bible, right? As the day grows near of his return, we should be assembling and meeting together even more. Hallelujah. See, and people are trying to redefine this, and the trend is going actually backwards because they think, well, the less we meet, the more people we got. When Jesus said, actually, the closer the time comes, you should meet more frequently. Somebody say amen. You should be waiting for his coming and waiting for his return. Now, let's look at some important scripture. I really got my eyes open to the scripture today. So I want us to read it together. I'm going to read from the ESV, Mark chapter 4, the Gospel of Mark. We're going to start in verse 21. And let's ask the Lord to give us spiritual ears as we read this tonight. And look for multiplication within this passage. And he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? Verse 22. For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Don't you love how Jesus says that? It's so true. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. He's doubling down on it. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. Pause. And what did we talk about on Sunday? We talked about the parable of the talents, right? And if you remember in that parable, some of the disciples were given five talents, or one of the servants, I should say, was given five talents, and he invested it so that he got five more. Then one of the servants was given two talents, and he invested it so he got more. And then the one who had the one talent, right, he put it in the ground. And we put it in the ground and hid it. He said, Master, I know you to be a hard person, a hard man. You sow, or you reap where you do not sow. You gather where you do not scatter. So here, look, I've got this one talent for you. He was afraid. That's what it boiled down to. He was afraid. And so what Jesus said in that basically was he called that servant who hid the talent in the ground and did nothing with it to get a return on what that master had it entrusted him with. He called that servant a wicked servant, which tells me that a disciple, come on somebody, Jesus paid the price for your life to get a return, somebody say amen, on the investment. Now, it doesn't take away the fact that Jesus loves you no matter what. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. That's what the scripture says. But I don't know about you, but something happened when I got saved, baptized, sanctified, filled, and I'm still getting sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, that I began to realize, man, God has deposited something special on the inside of me and everyone else who's a believer so that we can have multiplication and produce something for the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen. And see, this, some people think, well, that's a legalistic thing. But what's the alternative? I don't think the Bible describes and prescribes for us as Christians to just sit on our hand and say, well, he's coming at some point, but I'm just going to wait and make sure I'm ready and nothing else. He calls us, come on, somebody, to produce fruit, which produces more fruit, which produces multiplication. Somebody say amen. So you multiply what is happening on the earth when the blessing of God and the anointing of God comes upon it. See something, and we're going to see it here in a moment. If you try to hoard it and keep it for fear that something will happen, then that actually gets taken from you. But if you put a seed in the ground based off what he has given you, are you hearing me with spiritual ears tonight? If you choose not to be afraid, but follow what he's saying to do and obey his commands, and you put it in the ground, it produces a harvest that multiplies. Somebody say amen. I've got these flowers. Kent and I got these flowers in our front bed, and I'm terrible at landscaping. I just do the best I can. I'm good. I try to mow my yard, weed eat, and make it look nice and everything. But when we first bought this house, Kent and I put these, we stripped everything from the landscaping. We pulled these rocks out, and we pulled these bushes we didn't like and all this stuff. And we put these little baby plants in the front. And so now we've lived there since 2017. And what I began to notice this year, I've been walking around my house, and I thought, these plants, these flowers, look like they're almost becoming one with the ones next to them because they're becoming so big. year over year, as you tend the garden, somebody say amen, they grow and they multiply. It's almost like they've congealed into one. How many of you know that's like a picture of the body of Christ? You start out, you get saved, you get the spiritual milk of the word, and then over time, the Bible says, you actually grow to feast on the meat of his word. And as disciples, with Jesus as the cornerstone, you are living stones, is what the Bible says, built into a beautiful structure that grows and grows and has formation until it is something beautiful that is based off Jesus as the cornerstone of the house. That's why we say at this house, unless the Lord builds the house, somebody say amen, the labor's built in vain. If we just take what God has given us and deposited to us and we're afraid to use it for the kingdom of God, come on somebody, the scripture details to us that is not the way to a prosperous, fruitful, multiplied life. Are y'all here tonight? Somebody shout amen at me if you're here. You actually have to put it in the ground of your heart. It starts with what I reference all the time, the parable of the sower, which comes right before this passage. It's perfectly placed. Obviously, the Bible is perfect. It's perfectly placed right before this because what he's saying is that he even references it. If you get the parable of the sower, you'll get the rest of them. So what he's saying is, how important is it that when you hear the anointed preached word of God, somebody say amen, whether it's here or somewhere else or on Facebook or YouTube, when you hear the word of God and it becomes implanted in your heart and your heart is fertile, it produces and it multiplies when it goes into the ground of a fertile heart. Somebody say amen. How many of you can see people like that, where little things don't detour them? They get the word and they don't let the cares of life distract them. They don't let people's thoughts distract them. Isn't that right, Miss Nancy? They don't let any little thing keep them from growing in Jesus. They don't let the enemy come and steal it from them and score. They don't receive it with joy and they just let it pass on by and never think about it again. They take the implanted word of God in their heart, they let it take root deep down inside of them, and then it begins to multiply. And when you see that fruit in your own life, you begin to tell other people about Jesus, and you see it develop in them. One of the beautiful things that I love to see is when people in our church, it's like when they get saved, they get baptized, they get filled with the Spirit, they go to the Become class, they do things like that, and something clicks in their mind. Man, this Jesus thing is so real that my life is going to change forever. Can somebody say amen in this house? And you actually grasp it. It's not just a lift a hand and a pray. It's a come to the altar and stay. Somebody say amen. And you go forward in his power and you produce much fruit. Let me be real, because y'all the Wednesday night crew tonight. We are in a society, and I've said it before, where you have options. Make Jesus the most important option in your life. More than anything else, if you want your business to be blessed, your work to be blessed, your family to be blessed, this is not a discouragement to you. It's an admonishment and an encouragement that your time in his presence is not wasted. Somebody shout amen. Because when you hear your kids in the back and they're singing about Jesus and you're faithful to church and you know you should be in the house of God, somebody shout amen, and you see the fruit of it, then you're blessed and highly favored. Man, my seed is actually multiplying. That's a beautiful thing. Let me tell you this. The kingdom of God is growing. Don't let any media news outlet or anything else or news. Guess what? Jesus said it. Wars, rumors of wars, right? Pestilence, famine, these things would happen. We should not be shaken by them. Come on, somebody. But when it happens, you look up and your redemption draweth nigh. Somebody say amen. That's an important thing. It's like now, even from the pulpit, we get people feeding us these things, and it makes us anxious and nervous about it. Rather than preaching, man, Jesus is coming back. Somebody shout amen. I'm glad he's coming. There's going to be a pure, spotless bride. There's going to be a bride that is raised up
and is united, like I said, about that house that's built into a beautiful structure, you as living stones with Jesus as the cornerstone. God builds his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Somebody say amen. That's what he said. Now let's read the passage. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. What is he saying? He's saying that if you are faithful, it's all throughout the Bible. Sowing and reaping and a faithful steward, right? The one who keeps the vineyard, the one who does it well. If you are faithful over what God has entrusted to you, God will give you more. Amen, Pastor. It's true. And we shy away from that because we think it's not the Jesus way. No, absolutely it's the Jesus way. If you are faithful, come on, somebody, he'll bless you for it. He said, look, I can entrust you more. And if you think otherwise, this completely blows it out of the wrong way of what you're thinking. Because look, the one who has the little, they just held on to it, fearful, wouldn't sow it, wouldn't give it. Even that'll be taken away. But if you take what God has given you, like the little boy with the loaves and the fishes, and you let Jesus bless it and break it, somebody say amen, then it'll be multiplied for the kingdom of God. That means your business, somebody say amen. That means your personal life, your time with Jesus, your time with your family. Make it centered around Jesus Christ. And when you do that, he'll bless you. So I don't really like my job. Give it to the Lord. Somebody say amen. Be an ambassador for Christ on your job. Serve Jesus with faithfulness. Don't grumble about it. Don't complain about it. Don't gossip about your manager or your boss. Somebody say amen. Oh, yeah. Do those things and watch what happens when you put that seed in the ground. God will bless you with more. Look at this. And even what he has will be taken away. Verse 26. We'll read it all this time. Verse 26. Sorry. Thank you, sir. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Did I skip a verse? Okay, let's go back because that's a very important verse. Thank you, Brian. Yeah, I saw that look at me like you're missing. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Verse 26, we'll come back to that one. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Verse 27, he sleeps. Look at this. Read this with spiritual ears, family. He sleeps and rises night and day. And the seed sprouts and grows, and he knows not how. See, but he scattered it first. If you withhold it, there's no option for it to grow. Are you hearing what I'm saying, family? Right? This is not just money. It is money, right? Because if you withhold, right, this is talking about financial provision. But it's also talking about many other areas. If there's a talent God has given you, if there's something that God has instructed you to do and told you, it could be as simple as going and praying for somebody or blessing somebody financially, right, or giving or whatever it might be. But if you, or abiding in his word, being obedient to spend alone time with the Lord. When you do this, family, you're scattering the seed. And when you go to bed tonight, because you were in the house of God, right? This is not a legalistic thing, but because you were in the presence of God and you were in the house of God and you made a choice to put Jesus first in this area, you'll see fruit grow that multiply that you might not have even labored for. Somebody say amen. That's a beautiful thing. He sleeps. He doesn't just sit there and look at the seed and get all nervous. Is it going to grow? Is it going to grow? What's going to happen? No, he scatters it because he trusts that God will be faithful in what he tells you to do. Somebody say amen. So he put the seed in the ground and he sleeps because God will give you rest. Somebody say amen. Right? He said, when you lay your head on your bed, don't you love the Bible because in the Holy Spirit, because it brings stuff to your members you haven't read in years. right? It says, when you lay your head on your pillow, you won't eat the bread of anxious toil. That's what your Bible says. But you'll actually have sweet sleep. When you put in first and you're obedient to the Lord, you have sweet sleep. That's why I go to bed. I put the CPAP machine on. Caitlin's got the airplane sound that is so loud, I feel like I'm in a jet. Somebody say amen. And I go to sleep. Hallelujah. All day I'm worried, where's sister so-and-so? Where's brother so-and-so? Are they okay? Are they mad? Are they upset? But guess what? Just a peek into the pastor's life. Somebody say amen. But when I lay my head to bed, good night. See ya. Somebody say amen. Why is so-and-so not here today? Are they mad? What are they doing? What's going on in their family? And but Miss Nancy, when I hit the pillow, it's CPAP machine, it's air coming into my lungs. Somebody say amen. It's a prayer unto Jesus. I feel so good in my king bed. Thank you, God, that my wife convinced me to upgrade to a king bed from a queen size bed. Somebody say amen. Because your pastor's gotten a little bit heavier over the years, but he's working on it. Somebody say amen. And the king bed is a lot more comfortable. Somebody say amen. I can shout about that too. Hallelujah. That's what's happened when you put your seed in the ground and you give. Somebody say amen. Give and it shall come back to you. Hallelujah. Press down, shaking together and running. How's he afford a king bed? Because I give. Somebody say amen. Yeah. Yeah, baby. I sleep. Somebody say amen. I don't have to eat the bread of anxious toil. God is my protector. Somebody say amen. God is my shield. God is my buckler. I don't have to, will it grow, God? But when I prayed and read this morning, did it do anything in my life? Yes, it did. Somebody say amen. Because the Holy Spirit brings it to your remembrance and you're not striving. Do you see the apple on the apple tree striving to grow? No, you don't. And I had some experience with that as a kid because at my grandparents' house in Henderson, it's Robbers, Kentucky. If you say Robards, please say Robbers. Somebody say amen. Don't be offended at your pastor. That's just where I know where it is because that's where my grandparents were. Robbers, Kentucky. There was an apple tree by these horses. And every year, without fail, those apples would come back. We'd pick one of those apples and we'd feed it to those horses. I remember it like yesterday. Actually, my mother-in-law's house, it's right across from a horse farm, and that she takes the kids over there and lets them see the horses. I don't know if there's an apple tree or not. I don't know why I said that, but anyway, there's horses there too. Amen. Back to what I was actually saying. Amen. If y'all see me on a horse, right, you'll know. Man, it's like a regular cowboy. Amen. This is going off the rails fast. All right. And the apples, you don't see the apples striving to grow. There was a seed that was put in the ground. Come on, somebody. And guess what? It did what it was supposed to do. I just don't know how this is going to work out in my life, Pastor. I've been to church 3 weeks and nothing has happened. Lord have mercy. Come on, somebody. My family is all a mess. I've been to 3 weeks and God did nothing. Come on, it's called endure. It's called put a seed in the ground. Somebody say amen. Even when I don't feel it, he's working. Even when I don't see it, he's working. Somebody say amen. Well, I tithed for the first time the other day, and nothing happened. Lord have mercy. Come on, somebody. Put a seed in the ground. Somebody say amen. And when you scatter it, you can go to sleep knowing that it's in God's hands. Somebody shout amen. That's why you don't have to be pacing the floor when your lost loved one is far from God. You said the prayer. You raised them up. You know the promise. Train up a child in the way they should go. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. Somebody say amen. So you don't have to be pacing your floors in anxiety. Yeah, you can be pacing, praying in tongues and pacing and praying. And that's good, but don't be pacing and be anxious. Somebody say amen. Don't be anxious about, does God got it? Does God got the finances? Does he have the need? Can he meet it? Can he do it? My goodness, we serve a living God. Somebody say amen. We are people of faith. We are not people of doubt. How easily do we begin to doubt just because we don't physically see God working? It's called faith. It's called when you come to church, man, some people get instantly delivered and healed, and some people, they get saved, and God takes them through a process. But let me tell you, either way, he's still good. He still does it. Somebody say amen. He's still good. His promises are still true. But you have to scatter the seed. what you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. That's the truth of his word. If you withhold, it is not the Christian way. But when you give, what does he say? Give and it shall be given back to you. Well, I just don't believe that a Christian should be blessed. What do you say about that? Give and it shall be given. Somebody say amen. Look at this. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. Sometimes when I follow the word, Miss Nancy, I don't know how, but it's like something super, all I can say is it's supernatural. Somebody say amen. God makes a way where there seemed to be no way. God opens a door that you thought would never open. You don't have to sit there and wring your hands and worry. Here's where we get into it. We begin to doubt God, and we complain to our brother and sister, and strife begins to break out. How many of you have seen it happen before? I don't trust what the leadership is. And people start to talk and murmur and gossip and strife and discord because they're not waiting and understanding that God is doing something because a seed has already been put in the ground. And when it's put in there, look what happens. This is beautiful, Brian. Look, then the earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, and then the full grain in the ear. It's progressive. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? It's like you see over time the goodness of God unfolding. How many times in your life you said, man, we sowed that seed or we did this, and we didn't see anything come of it. We blessed so-and-so. We prayed for so-and-so. We've been praying so-and-so for many, many years, and we haven't seen anything. But let me tell you something. The kingdom of God, remember what I said, when you put it in Jesus' hands and put him first and are a true disciple, you go from glory to glory. Somebody say amen. Faith to faith is what the Bible says. Strength to strength, level to level. And at first, it might just be the blade. But then it's the ear. Somebody say amen. And then it's the full grain. So that's what, so listen, when we planted the church, we understood it was a seed, right? It's like, man, we're trusting God. We know Jesus has to be the cornerstone, and everything needs to be put on Jesus, and everything we do has to be centered around Jesus. And then from that point, as we go from faith to faith, level to level, glory to glory, God begins to reveal his plan until it never stops growing, but until we see the fruition of the growth over time, right? And so that's the thing, is I don't get discouraged. You don't get discouraged in your own life when you feel like you have a setback in the natural, because you know the way the kingdom works versus how our flesh tries to tell us it works. Somebody say amen. You understand that if I sow to the Spirit, I'll reap to the Spirit, is what the Bible says. And when you put that seed in the ground, I have no doubt that God will provide a space for this church. Somebody say amen. That we can grow into over time. Because if it's centered around Jesus, if we're living righteously, if we're following his commands, there is no doubt when it's put in the soil, somebody say amen, it will grow. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But it's our responsibility as a church, man, I feel the Lord in this, and as the people, not to become gridlocked and say, well, this is capacity. This is it. No, I got faith for something greater. Somebody say amen. And you need to have that faith in your own life. Say, this is my echelon. This is only where I'll be. When Jesus said, no, there's so much more above that. First the blade, then the ear, and then the full grain in the ear. Next verse. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. What's he saying? He's saying that when you start to see the fruit and the harvest, come on somebody, when you start to see people that come in this house that are far from Jesus, do you turn them away? No, come on somebody. That's the time where, well, I'm comfortable now. I've given my life to Jesus. Everything's good. No, 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 no. It's your turn to scatter the seed. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Lord. And you'll see that when you scatter the seed, maybe that you say, well, I'm not fully there as a Christian yet. When will you be? Come on. I don't think in my own life where I've ever felt, Logan, like I was a super Christian, but I decided, somebody say amen, as God's working on me, somebody say amen, I'm not going to withhold my seed. I'm going to scatter the seed, and you'll find out what you make happen for others. Somebody say amen. God will start to break it loose in your life. So you say, I'm struggling with this same thing. That doesn't disqualify you as a Christian. Now, listen, there's sins in your life you need to take care of. But what I'm saying is, if you go through a trial or a struggle and you think that disqualifies me from doing anything but coming and sitting in a chair and listening to Crystal and Kaylin and the team lead us and sing, and I'm just going to sit here and absorb and take what I have, that is not it, family. Do you hear me? Somebody shout amen. Like, when are we going to be faithful with? We know what God has told us to be faithful with. Somebody say amen. Right? And when you put that seed in the ground, it comes back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Because he can do abundantly above all that you even ask, think, or imagine. That's the God I serve. Somebody say amen. Lack is not our portion. Somebody say amen. Blessing is our portion. Look what it says. When the grain is ripe, when you see somebody, that's when people come into this house, and I've never seen them before. That doesn't mean they're not saved. But when they come to this house, I don't know their relationship with God. If I'm not faithful to put the sickle out there to reap a harvest, we're doing something wrong. Somebody say amen. Even if nobody comes forward. But if we preach the gospel, somebody's going to get a hold of it. Somebody say amen. Because when you preach, the Bible says when you preach the word of God, it does not return void. It comes back, somebody say amen, with the blessing attached to it. So you have to be faithful to preach the word instant, in season and out of season. And when you do that, God honors it and the harvest has come. And you'll see, too, the harvest in your own life. But you got to scatter the seed. Don't strive. Trust. Trust him. Trust Jesus. You say, well, I've been coming to church 6 months, and nothing has happened. Oh, Lord. I've been to church since I was a baby. Somebody say amen. And I went through, and this is not going to be our portion. I'm not saying this. I'm not proclaiming this over you. But there were seasons where I didn't feel the best. Somebody say amen. The best mentally, the best physically. I felt like, God, where are you? All this stuff. But I knew I had to be faithful. Somebody shout amen. And we have got to, I know this ain't shouting, but we have got to get this back into the DNA of the church. Somebody say amen. Where it's like, you know what? No matter what, I'm not giving up on Jesus because he didn't give up on me. Somebody say amen. And I'm going to press in even harder. When the devil puts the heat on, let me tell you something. It does not matter because I'm trusting Jesus and he's right there with me in the fire. Somebody say amen. Whoo, hallelujah. Let's go verse 30. And he said, here's the last one. I'm almost done. We'll pray. He said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? And what parable shall we use for it? Listen close. Verse 31. It's like a grain of mustard seed. See, these three parables tie together very nicely. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Pause. The Bible says, don't despise the day of small beginnings. Somebody say amen. The problem is when people get their eyes fixated on the wrong things. If we would have quit when we went from in the house from 40 people to 10 people to me, Kaylin, and my mom, it would have been over, right? But we decided in our heart, come on, somebody, it's a mustard seed. See, what happens, we used to do it in Sunday school. I had a Sunday school teacher. She gave me a little mustard seed. Have you ever seen one? They're microscopic. They're tiny. Go to the Rural King. I'm hardly ever there, but go there. I'm sure they got one. At the Rural King or the feed store or Southern States or somewhere like that. And go find, amen. Y'all need to lighten up tonight. It's all right. And get you a mustard seed. And I took that mustard seed and I put it in my Bible, Ronnie. And I taped it there. That Bible stayed with me. And that mustard seed, Brian, stayed with me through the whole time until I went off to college. And every time I looked at it, it reminded me to be faithful in the little. If Jesus, I'm preaching better than I'm letting y'all land on tonight. If Jesus sees the widow who put the two mites in the offering and said she gave more than any of these other people who had a ton of stuff they were giving, but they weren't really giving him everything. But the widow who had the two mites had the right heart. See, that's why you say, well, I put this amount, I give, this is not a message on offering, but it just applies. You say, if I put this amount, but it's not fully what God has asked me, you're not being obedient. You say, well, if you're not putting anything, you're not being obedient. Ooh, somebody say amen. But if you give to God, somebody say amen. Let's start with your heart. Your whole heart, somebody say amen. Then it produces something within you. We've got this all warped and mixed up because of everybody's commentary online about what is happening. No, we should be generous because it's a blessing to be a blessing to others. Somebody say amen. And because God is building his house, somebody shout amen if you believe it today. You see, there was one point in the Old Testament where they came and they had to tell them, I forgot which book it was, 1st or 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, they had to tell them to stop bringing offerings. If you read the Bible, they had to, you know why? It wasn't necessarily the monetary value. It's because people were being so generous and moved in their heart to see the place built. Somebody say amen. It was an overflow. It was like God was saying, this is what happens when the people of God are built up together as a living structure with Jesus as the cornerstone. It's the most generous place on the earth. Somebody say amen. Look what happens. It's like now here's the spiritual significance. It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Verse 32, look at this. Yet when it is sown, I feel this in my spirit. We're gonna pray, pause. People, you know, let me phrase this right. When I hear people talk negatively about our city and our region, I take that seriously. Somebody say amen. Not because I'm mad at that person or upset at that person, but because God has given us a burden for our city and our region. It is nothing small to me. It's a mustard seed that's put in the ground that could be a really big explosion of his presence. Somebody say amen. Like I believe if it's in our vision statement that this city and region will be an epicenter of cultural transformation driven by the prayer on earth as it is in heaven. If we don't believe it, what are we doing? But if we believe it, somebody say amen. That if it's a mustard seed of faith with 200 to 300 people, somebody say amen, on a hill behind the chicken, cheese, and rice in Owensboro, Kentucky, on Highway 54, then if you put a seed in the ground, somebody say amen. I just don't believe in the doctrine of giving. Think about something other than yourself. Somebody say amen. Put a seed in the ground, the harvest will come. And when they come, you'll put the sickle in. Somebody say amen. It's the greatest joy. Man, I'm preaching better than y'all land on tonight. It is the greatest joy to see that we invested in the kingdom with our blood, sweat, and tears, and our service, and we did it. We're actually doing the thing. You're actually doing the thing. Somebody say amen. And people are coming to Jesus because of it. Take a 10-second praise break if you believe it. Man, I want my children to grow up in a church and a place, and I believe we got it, and it's continuing to grow, where Jesus is magnified and glorified. There's Christians everywhere. Somebody say amen. There's a church on every corner. So be it. Somebody say amen. Because if the glory comes, if the presence is here, if my kids are raised in a city on fire for Jesus, praise God. Somebody say amen. Why speak negative about it? Well, and if you don't think that's biblical, look at that. Jesus spoke to actual towns. He looked at towns. and said, I wish you would have opened the door to me. I wish I could have gathered you. We have an opportunity as a family. Are you hearing what I'm saying? To open the door and let Jesus in to sow the seed. Look at this. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air, very important verbiage here, so that the birds of the air can make nest in its shade. Pause. Think about this for a moment. Well, Pastor collects his breath and he's still sweating, even though I'm actually taking it easier tonight. If the seed, man, y'all dead tonight. Y'all going to wake up. Somebody say amen. When the seed goes in the ground, Justin, and it grows, it starts small, Jenny. But when it grows, the Bible says it has so many branches and so much coverage that the birds of the air take nest in it. What is he saying? Because somebody sacrificed, and because you sacrificed, and you had faith to believe it, now your ministry has multiplied. Somebody say amen. So that other people can come and rest and experience what you have experienced. Somebody say amen. See, that is how church operates. It's magnifying Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's glorifying Jesus. But then somebody say, it's loving your neighbor as yourself. Somebody say amen. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's why when you come on a Wednesday night, you're not coming in vain. Somebody say amen. You could be doing other things. There's other things more important. No, I got to be in the house of God. Somebody say amen. Because when I exalt Jesus, I learn to love him and to worship him. And then when I go out, I go and I spread the good news of Jesus everywhere I go. And other people get a taste of what I experienced in his presence. Somebody say amen if you believe it. So I believe, man, this is Jesus's church. Somebody say amen. And when people come here, we see the fruit of what it means to put a seed in the ground. Amen. Because that means something's growing where other people can come and rest. Well, I made a bad mistake a few months ago or a week ago or yesterday or last night. Well, guess what? You can come into the house of God. There's still faithful people. Somebody say amen. Who will love you and who put a seed in the ground so that you can rest in his shade. And then in turn, you take your seed and you put it in the ground. Now I'm almost done. Crystal, if you can help me. I'm going to pray for 5 minutes. I love this scripture because if you remember another portion of scripture, it talks about, right? It says, remember the birds, right? Remember the lilies of the field. The lilies of the field. It says, they neither toil nor spin, but God arrays them even more beautiful than Solomon was arrayed. The birds, right? They're not over there. Have you ever seen a bird kneading bread in the tree? No. I haven't. Maybe you have. I don't know if anybody needs bread that much anymore. Have you ever seen a bird making hamburger helper in a tree or something? No. Come on. But God knows exactly what that bird needs. Somebody say amen. The birds love this place so much, they built a nest in the shed the other day that I had to take care of. Amen. I didn't kill no birds. No birds were killed in the nest debacle. Lord have mercy. Y'all ain't giving me no help tonight. No, you don't see the bird up there with the frying pan. You see the Lord supplies him with everything he needs. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. If y'all look at me like you've seen a bird with a frying pan before. Lord, if you do, send me a picture. Send it to National Geographic or something. Lord. So if God takes care of them. Oh, I'm preaching because it's getting in your heart tonight. It's going beyond just taking up an offering or preaching about loving your neighbor. It's getting in your heart. If God takes care of them, how much more does he love you?
how much more does he love you? Well, I'm thinking about backing off a church in Jesus. Whoa, 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 whoa. How much more does he love you? I'm thinking about stopping serving. I just don't think I can do it anymore. How much more does he love you? Somebody say amen. What's the point, Pastor? The point is that God can multiply your reach and your ministry and your house and your family and your children and the benefit that you see when you're faithful to scatter the seed. Receive it with a fertile heart. Receive this word. Don't get offended by it. It's the Bible. Everything I'm preaching tonight is the Bible. Don't be offended by it. You have two options. Offended, receive it with joy. Let the enemy come and steal it. Let the cares of life, when you leave here, something bad's going on in your family, let the cares of life take it over, or let it get in your heart and fertile ground and say, Jesus, what do you really want to do with this word? What do you really want to do with this word in my heart today? Maybe, listen, it don't matter how young you are or how old you are, God can always speak to you something new in the scripture when the Holy Spirit's moving. And speak to you in a special way. So what am I saying? I'm saying that God can multiply what you choose to be faithful with, and he'll give you more. But if you withhold it, even what that person has will be taken away, is what the Bible says. But watch him move when you operate in faith. That's why I don't get nervous, because God's called me and Caitlin here. Somebody say amen. And if we put a seed in the ground, we will see a harvest, Tyrone. And when we see the harvest, we're not going to be well, somebody didn't come to the altar last week. Who cares? The gospel was preached. Somebody say amen. How many churches, they give up we did an altar call 5 years ago and nobody, what? Come on, somebody. If you put a sickle out there, come on, the harvest will come. Somebody say amen. They'll come. So be faithful. Last scripture, and I'm done. We got to make it a quick prayer, but we're going to, how many of you are ready to pray for at least 5 minutes? Somebody say amen. Because I feel the Lord working. Listen, all this stuff deals with my heart before it ever gets to you. I travail in prayer and ask the Lord, what are you speaking to me? I try not to be offended. Lord, make me moldable. What are ways that me and Caitlin can be better? What are ways that we can scatter our seed? What are ways that we can be better so that our children are multiplied to the 100,000th generation for the kingdom of God? Look at this. Brian sent me this scripture the other day. Don't you love Brian? The anointing's all over. Ephesians 3. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly, somebody say amen, than all that we ask or think, according to the power where? At work within you. God's entrusted you with something, family. How are you using it for the kingdom of God? Are you being faithful? Let's start with getting our family to church. Somebody say amen. Let's start with loving our wives and our husbands. Amen. Let's start with that type of stuff. Let's start with following the Bible. And when you do that, he's able to do far more abundantly than all that you ask or think, according to the power at work within you. And look at this part. I never saw it this way till I read it tonight, and I'm done. To him be glory. Look where? In the church. Whoa, 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 whoa. Let's back that up. To him be glory in the church. Somebody say amen. That means when you scatter your seed, you take your talent, you invest it, you give it to God, you do everything that I preached about tonight. And when you do that, glory rises to God within the church. Somebody say amen. That's why Caitlin can sing a million times better than me, but she put a seed in the ground. Somebody say amen. And God gets glory in the church. And when I preach the gospel, and when Brian and Lake can teach the Become class, and when Logan and Lauren are back there serving and investing in kids, somebody say amen. And when Chelsea and her team are cleaning the
church, whatever it might be, when our media team and our sound people keep me sane and straight, like when you're doing that, God gets glory in the church. Somebody say amen. Right? It's not about me. It's about God getting the glory in the church. Somebody say amen. Because he's able, man, I feel the Lord, to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask, think, or imagine. Well, I messed up. I've done too much wrong. There's grace for that. Somebody say amen. Now it's time to dust up, get up. Come on, shake it off. Somebody say amen. Get your feet planted. Get in the house of God and watch God do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think or imagine. Jesus, it's in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. What does that mean? It means that as Caitlin and I, as you as a parent, as you as a single person, as you sow into the kingdom of God, my generations, I'm declaring it now, shall be blessed. Somebody say amen. The Barry lineage shall be blessed. The devil can't have a single day of the Barry kids. Somebody say amen. Because Jesus, I'm preaching better than you're letting on. Because Jesus is working exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask, think, or imagine, according to the power within you. And he's doing it through the vehicle of his church. Somebody say amen. Take 10 seconds and praise God in this house if you believe it. Come on, we can do better than that. Let's end on a good note. Take 10 seconds and really praise God. Come on, Father, that feels good. 5 more seconds. Let's really praise Jesus. So quickly. I don't need us to move slow because the kids, I need 5 minutes. I got prayer focuses. We're going to skip the announcements. Just know, VBS, say these three word letters. VBS, say it with me. Good, good job. Sign up to volunteer. Sign your kids up. There's an all-team member meeting the Sunday before. Come to VBS. I've posted all the announcements on the story. We're going to focus on praying right now, all right? Drop your offering, your seed, amen, in the offering box. All right, come on, let's pray. You got 5 minutes. We got to let our kids team go. Right here, this is prayer. If you never, what are they doing? Don't, if you can stay 5 more minutes, I would. VBS 2026, revival. The Lord's been stirring my heart in this area, revival. Capacity for souls, a bigger space. Somebody say amen. And healing. Healing. Pray for somebody you know that needs supernatural healing. Listen, this is not wasted time when we get on our phone and scroll. Can I just preach to you as your pastor tonight? The church is called to pray. We are. We are on life support if we're not praying. We are a different person if we're not praying. Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Right? My house shall be called a house of prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person has much power as it is working. So if you want to stay in your seat, let's dim the lights real quick. 5 minutes. I'm going to pull you out at 8:15, and you can go. We're going to say a blessing and go straight to your kids. Find one of these right here. Healing. If you come on, come to the altar. Find one of these and begin to pray. If you want to stay at your seat, that's fine too. That's totally fine. Just whatever you do. If you got to go, I understand. But whatever you do, spend time in prayer. We got 5 minutes, and let's pray for these. I put these out because there's power in unity. The Bible says if two or three agree touching any one thing, it'll be done for them in heaven. That's what it says. If you agree, if you touch and agree, it'll be done for you in heaven is what the Bible says. So be a people. You got 5 minutes. So kids, team, y'all can get ready to get things going. But let's pray. If you're in this house, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, God, for your beautiful word. Lord, I thank you for these amazing people gathered in this house tonight that have received this word. And Lord, I pray right now for Vacation Bible School 2026. I pray it would be the best year yet. We don't do anything, Lord, without praying. We don't do any endeavor, any activity, anything without soaking and bathing it in prayer. And so, Lord, we pray for every child that walks through the door at Vacation Bible School June 12, 13, 14, God, we're just declaring over those days, your blessing and your hand will be upon it. Lord, I pray that every volunteer, every serve team member, we would be so excited and fervor and have be full of fervor to serve so that we can see the littlest children come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that your presence would saturate this place from every worship song. Let us work together in unity. Let us serve together in unity. Lord, let us do it with fervor and passion and zeal because the next generation depends on it. And Lord, I pray, Jesus, that we would walk in unity. That's where you command the blessing. Lord, we pray for revival. We are unashamed of it. Lord, may we continue to see a harvest of souls. Lord, I pray, Jesus, God, that true revival, it would be a renewal in each one of our spirits. It would be like a river of the Holy Spirit that would flood through this place like never before. Send revival to our kids, to our youth, to our adults, from the youngest to the oldest, God. Lord, do an amazing work in here. You said if my people would call upon my name and turn from their ways and seek the face of God, you would heal, you would bring help, you would bring renewal. And so tonight, Lord Jesus, we pray for revival. We pray, Lord Jesus, God, that you would do it in this house. Lord, we pray for capacity for souls. We need this, Lord. Make way for space in this house. Whatever it looks like, Jesus, we cry out for it. Our heart is for souls. Your word says that he who wins souls is wise. And so, Lord, I pray that what's happening on Sundays, this building would not be able to contain it. But God, Jesus, we pray that you would make a way. We know that you already have a plan. We pray in faith. We come in agreement, Lord Jesus, that you can open any door that we need open, Lord Jesus. You make a way where there seems to be no way. And Lord, I pray that because of this, we would not steward it inappropriately, God, but that we would put, Lord Jesus, the seed in the ground so it would be hard to go to hell from our city and our region. Lord, we pray, Lord Jesus, for our own capacity within our own hearts for souls, to be moved with compassion for souls, for the lost. Help us to not just go through daily motions, but let us be burdened for souls, other people that need an encounter from Almighty God. And last, Jesus, let's pray this. Lord, we pray for healing. Healing. Healing of hearts. Healing of minds. Healing of bodies. That every disease would go. This would be the healthiest church in Jesus' mighty name. And that you would heal people. Lord, you are the great physician. Let signs, miracles, and wonders and healing testimonies come forth from this church as people encounter the presence of God. Now let's do this real quick. Lord, we seal this moment by the power of the Holy Spirit. God, we thank you, Jesus. As we go and lay our head on our pillows tonight, let us not eat the bread of anxious toil, but let us trust you, Jesus, that you are a healer, that you are, Lord Jesus, one who will provide and make a way, a capacity for more people to come. That you are, Lord Jesus, orchestrating VBS 2026, and that you are bringing revival and renewal. So we seal this moment by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's in your mighty name we pray. Now, if you're here at the altar, that's fine, but lift your hand. I'm gonna bless you. And then take your kids tag and go get your children. Have a wonderful evening. Listen, Pastor Clinton loves you. I'm thankful for you. I'm very thankful to be able to shepherd this house. Raise your hand for the blessing. Lord, I bless these, your people. Lord, I pray that you go with them. You promised you would. You never leave them or forsake them. So Lord, as your word said in the Old Testament, bless them and keep them. Let your face shine upon them. Let your countenance be lifted up towards them and give them peace. Lord, we know that even though we walk through the valley, you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. So bless their families. I pray a special anointed blessing on every single one of my friends and family here tonight. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, all God's people said, amen, amen. If you're praying, that's beautiful. You can continue to do that. If not, you'll be mindful of kids' team. I love you. We'll see you Sunday morning. It's going to be a beautiful Sunday. Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Invite somebody new to church. Invite somebody new to church. We love you.